All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. Join the Kiss FAQ YouTube channel. Member perks include exclusive song story demo bites, songs of the moment with contextual introductions, document and merchandise dives, Kiss FAQ board topic reaction videos, early access to channel content, and hopefully lots more. Click the join button on the Kiss FAQ YouTube channel or follow this link. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill, and I've got a very special guest joining me from Japan at this ungodly hour, 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning. What time is it in Tokyo, Alan?
It's 9 p.m. Saturday evening.
All right, that doesn't sound very pleasurable to me either as an early bird, but Alan is back. Alan is the mastermind behind Kiss on Tour 74 to 83, and you made a very special announcement last night. How many publications is this, and why don't you just give everyone the 20,000-foot view of what you announced last night?
Thank you, Julian, for having me today. I should have counted how many publications I have done so far, but I'm sorry, I forgot. But, you know, like Kiss always says, the last one is the best one or the most important one. So I am very excited to announce the release of a book that I've had in mind for several years that's very dear to my heart. And releasing in 2025 is especially a great personal achievement for me. I have released a book called Kiss at Budokan. The Japanese title is Jigoku Emaki in Budokan. It is a 160-page book that covers Kiss in 1977, 1978, 1988, and 1995. And I started the pre-order this morning in Japan, and I'm very pleased to be here with you and to promote it and to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And it was exciting news to know that you had another publication coming, because yours have always been very high quality, very high gloss print, exceptional printing and paper quality, making them very pleasurable to hold and caress each one of those photos. But it's quite a long line. And just to go back to how many books you've done, you gave the right answer. No one should actually ever know exactly how many books or publications they have done, because that would indicate ego to have that exact count. So I have no idea for mine, so I'm glad you have no ideas for you. You have a very long history with publications around the history of Kiss in Japan. You previously done the incredible illustrated guide to Kiss in Japan, several printings of that, one that I believe is in need of an update. You've also done independent features on 1977 tour and 1978 tour. What has driven you to decide to revisit three awesome lineups of the band's history in Japan? Obviously, the Kulik and Carr lineup of 1988, the Kulik and Singer lineup of 1995, and of course, the originals, two visits in 1977 to 78 in a single volume.
That's a very good question. Everybody knows Kiss in Japan, 1977 at Budokan, the NHK Young Music Show. 78 is a classic also. But 88 and 95, really, there's not much available. And I've always wanted to do a book on the non-makeup years, because I love the non-makeup years. I was a big fan from 1980 till now. So for 10, 12 years, I was following Kiss without makeup, and I love that era. There wasn't much available, and there wasn't much that I could find. So when I did Kiss on Tour 74, 83, I was at Chinko Music. I found folders of slides from 88 and 95. And I kept them in mind that I would one day, if I were given a chance, I would do a book on the non-makeup Kiss. So that was in 2021. And every year I tried to do something. I was I was told that it was not going to be possible. And finally this year, I got the green lights, the okay, all the planets aligned. And I thought, Shinko Music has so many photos of 77, 78. Adding to 88 and 95 would make a great volume. So that's what I started working on. Of course, Kiss played at Budokan beyond 1995, but you'd have to draw a line somewhere. So that's where I drew the line, is Kiss at Budokan in the 20th century. So 77, 78, 88, and 95.
No, that makes a great deal of sense to kind of segregate it into pre-reunion, because everything changes tremendously in terms of both the fan and band dynamic once they reunited in 1996, at least from my personal perspective. Now, looking the 1995 tour, let's start with that. You know, what that seems to be a little bit of a black hole to a certain extent in terms of a lot of the kind of minutiae that could be attributed to that tour, the photographs, obviously the professional recordings of Budokan from that tour are held in very high esteem as being a fantastic representation of the Kulik and Singer lineup at its very highest point. How do you approach looking at Shinko's archive and the other material that you're incorporating to tell that story to best represent what was a very short-lived lineup, but one that still is central to many fans' appreciation of the band?
You have to work with what's available. And let's be honest, there's not much. Like you said, it was a very bizarre time and maybe a difficult period, if you will. So on a very technical level, so to speak, I have a very good relationship with the people with the Music Life archives. But in 95, Kiss was mostly in Burn magazine. Now I am not. Well, it's the same company, but there are different offices, so different editors and so forth. So I had to negotiate, and it was not easy at first to get access to some of the Burn magazine archives to cover that era and that tour. And obviously, there weren't tens of photographers like in 1977 to take photos of Kiss. But still, I really wanted to include that lineup and the 88 lineup as well to give a larger overview of Kiss in Japan, Kiss at Budokan, than just do 77, 78 was the easy way, the easy option. But I really, really wanted to use those photos from 88 and 95 to take them out of those files and folders and archives and really let them be enjoyed by the fans, because that's what it's all about. I enjoy looking at photos. I enjoy making books, and I hope people enjoy looking at the photos and reading those books. So if I can describe this book, Kiss at Budokan, I would like to say humbly, it's like four tour books into one, 77, 78, 88, and 95. So it's a photo album, if you will. I don't rewrite Kiss in Japan story again. Like you said, I did Takes Tokyo 77. I did Budokan 78. The format, the layout, the design is very different. Most of the photos are new. And obviously, I've had this question already. Most of the book is 77, 78. It it's a large portion of the book. Again, because of the importance of 77, obviously, but also because of with the material that's available. There were dozens of photographers in 77, not so many in 88 and 95.
No, and I think that's a key point to remind people. 1977 in particular is an outlier. The Kiss Clipper flew over a cadre of international press from Europe, the American press, all these renowned international photographers. And then you also had a very large contingent of domestic Japanese journalists and music press that were aligned with covering that tour. Kiss also had to prove that they were in Japan, hence the photo sessions done at various historic locations in Japan, because how else do you prove that you're in Japan? Both to the Japanese public and to the world, you know, for promotional purposes, you go put them in front of a very identifiable Japanese temple or, you know, the sites and scenes. They didn't do that in 1988 or 1995. As, you know, did you find candid shots rather than just live photographs in the Shinko archives that you were able to use for the 1988 and 1995 sections? Or was it really just covering the live concerts at that time rather than anything that they may have done in Tokyo while they were there?
I'm not going to spoil the content, but to be honest, the focus and the concept of the book is live at Budokan. So obviously, I was looking for photos of Kiss on stage. There are a few spreads of photos backstage or doing press, but the main focus was, of course, live at the Budokan. And not so much, you know, Gene picking his nose or, you know, those kind of other photos. I mean, they're nice, but they don't fit the concept of what I was trying to do.
Gene picking his nose in a photo is never nice, by the way. but let's talk about 1988, because they had quite a heavy press schedule when they were in Tokyo. They were doing a lot with all the magazines. They were doing all of that. So once again, the same question applies there, you know, for 1988. And I'm also thinking about Eric Carr particularly because he's no longer with us. And it's a great way to honor him in something that was so important to him visiting Japan. And obviously with the symbol on his drums, that close connection between two cultures. You know, talk about a little bit about going through the 88 archives and what was jumping out at you from that to include in the book.
Well, I can assure you that Eric Carr will be honored and remembered in this publication. I'm being a drummer myself, or at least a Kiss fan who plays the drums, to be more accurate. I've always been a big fan of Eric Carr, so definitely we talk about that symbol on the drums, Chikara, and some other little trivia. The 88 photos, yes. When I saw them in those folders, that's what really triggered me to trying to get them out and use them for a publication. I was a huge fan of the era. I remember getting the VHS Kiss in Tokyo, a crazy night with Kiss. The first copy I got was black and white, believe it or not. It didn't prevent me from watching it until I got a color version. And it's a great show. That show is filmed April 22nd. The photos that were in the Music Life and Burn archives are from April 21st. So you may be noticing that the costumes are slightly different than the video that we were all used to seeing. And it was definitely a different band and different times. There was a 10-year gap between 78, 88. Oops, I need to drink again, sorry. And yes, they did a lot of press. They did also, they appeared on TV shows as well. Obviously, I don't have that in the book, but there is some spreads on on the press that they did and some photo shoots.
Going back to 1978, that one still remains the most mysterious of the KISS Japan tours. And mainly it's because it didn't get the kind of the focus the first are. I mean, the first of anything is always the grandest of anything, especially when it results in an unreleased live album, when it really comes to professionally shot shows for the NHK special. And then, of course, that's shown all over the world. How does 1978 get represented here? And what were some of the things that jumped out at you or caught your attention in reviewing those archives once again versus the, you know, individual title that you did several years ago? And I can't even remember what year that one was. Again, like my titles, I don't remember the details now for each one of these that you've done.
Budokan 78, I think I released in 2017. So that's a long time ago already. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The 78 is the only tour that was not filmed in Japan. We have 77, we have 88, we have 95, and 78, like you said, is those 5 days, those five shows. Right now, as we speak, we do not have professionally shot video. One thing that surprised me in the Shinko Music archives is they have a lot of slides and a lot of folders for 78, maybe even more than 77. One thing that I noticed was they had, I think, a full folder of Paul Stanley photos. And why? I think it's because they noticed, and I noticed too, that in 77, they focused on Gene and Ace mostly. So I think the photographer had a brief saying, we need more photos of Paul Stanley this year. And they had, I don't know how many photographers they had at the Budokan. All the photos are credited to one photographer, the main photographer. But of course, there was more than one taking photos for Shinko Music. It's very well documented on film and on photo. 78, they were big stars, obviously, and Shinko Music was going to publish another special, Music Live 78. So there's a lot of material available. So much, in fact, that I said to the people at Shinko, I need to come back next year and do another book. So if they let me, if everyone lets me do another book, I will go back and try to pull more photos out of their archives.
Well, I do wish you the best of luck in this, because the success of this project means that another project can be born down the road. It is project to project for independent creators like us, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, that's right. That's right. In fact, I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I could actually do two books on what Shinko Music has in their archives. If, again, this one is successful and if everyone lets me do that, there's enough material for at least two other books. I was really astonished at the amount of stuff that they have.
Now, when you look at the KISS encyclopedias, I mean, really the breadth of photos that are included in those just suggests, I mean, that they were shooting an awful lot of material. And you only get to see a very, very small percentage of all the photographs that a photographer captures. I mean, even in the film days, I mean, now it's insane. I reviewed one photographer's file for something for a project, and there were 3,000 photos, because digital allows you that scope. Right. But in the film days, they were still running through lots of rolls of 35 mil and other film types when they were shooting, weren't they? I mean, it must become quite an insane and compulsive disorder task to go through slide after slide after slide and select the photos to use. Is that how you work? Do you go through the slides sitting there looking at each one, or do they give you a selection to choose from? And how do you narrow down the photos that you use for each one of these projects, and how painful is it?
It's very painful, but I go in with an idea of the concept that I want to together and work on. So this time was really photos that I hadn't used in the past, trying to find new photos. So I was looking at you know, different angles, different shots, and different scenes that were not in the previous books. And to be fair, there are a lot that are not usable, as like you said, you know, they shot hundreds and hundreds, so some very soft focus and blurry and whatnot. But sometimes you go through and several times I would go, oh, that's a good one. Oh, this is good. Oh, this one I'm going to do. So, and the person next to me is like, oh, I'm so happy that kiss photos make you so happy. I said, oh, yes, that makes me very happy. So you sometimes, you know, among all the hundreds and hundreds, you have a few gems that pop out, and that makes your day.
Is she, and without giving away any proprietary or secret information, because you know, some companies are very particular about the details of their archives, are they digital? Are they in all digital, or are you looking at contact sheets, or are you sitting there on the screen going through folders, looking at digital copies?
No, the majority are slides and folders.
Old school.
Old school. Well, Shinko Music is the epitome of old school. They do have a digital archive, but it's a fraction of what they really have.
Oh, hey, you're still here, watching or listening. Why don't you hit that subscribe button or click the like one? And if you want even more, click on the join button on YouTube. Thanks for your support. Is the digital side more cherry-picked, like just the highest quality or the previously used? Is it separated that here's the rest, here's a bucket of slides?
Well, I don't know how they organize their digitization, but obviously some of the photos that are digitized were used in their previous books or previous magazines. So I think the selection was really random, and they probably don't have the manpower or the time to do that for KISS. I mean, they have so many other artists, and I mean, it's I guess it's on demand. When there's a project, then they dig into what they need to look for. As for KISS, it's really all over the place in a way.
Right. We're in a new world now that KISS has sold its intellectual property.
Have they?
and there's a new ownership in town. How does that change the focus of how you work on projects? Because I know that a lot of independent operators used to have, you know, back channel communications with certain parties that represented the official KISS business back when, before the sale to Pop House. How do you feel about the situation in which you're operating now, without going into any private details of communications or anything? Are you just continuing to work, much like I am, in the way that I've always worked? I do my projects. I put them out there with publicity well before I do anything with them. Has the way you work changed?
It depends on the project. When in my situation, being in Japan, when I have to use Shinko Music photos, when I want to do a photo book or a photo album with Shinko Music photos, they request that I get permission from KISS. So if I don't have the permission from KISS catalog at the time, they will not let me license photos. So anytime I had Shinko Music photos, it came after KISS said okay. This one is no different, except, of course, I had to get the okay from Pop House this time. So when Pop House, I guess on recommendation from KISS catalog, but I'm not sure, they sent me a letter of no objection. So that means we do not object to you publishing this KISS book. When I got that in hand, I could approach Shinko Music, and then we worked out the licensing deal for the photos. So The difference for me was it's the new sheriff in town. I think that's the expression. I just had to change the who to ask for permission, and then once I had that, the communication flow with Chinko Music was pretty much the same. If I don't have Kiss's okay, Chinko Music does not let, I guess, anyone license photos.
No, and that makes sense because say hello to the new boss, same as the old boss, as the old song used to go. The process is still that no entity, especially one that is so contingent on intellectual property and trademarks, wants to have anyone abusing that, whether it's tacit approval or official approval. So that's just good business, to be perfectly honest. I'm more curious. Excuse me. I'm more curious from one perspective, and that is the photo nerd perspective. And I see these people online who agonize over every single detail in a photo. Are you that person? Do you have to agonize over every single photo that you review to ensure that one has not been published before or a similar one to know that? Because I know some people get very upset. They say, oh, there's nothing new in here. But yet the creator could say, well, this is a different shot from the same sequence. Look, it's different. This one goes to 11. Is that a bane of your existence as someone who works heavily with photographic books?
I'm all for accuracy and all that, but when you start counting the studs on a guitar strap and if there's a scratch on the monitor, which indicates it was between March 7th and March 19th, that's a bit too much for my taste. I'd just like to remind everyone who may find any issues with my photos that Kiss Alive and the live album, the cover is not a live shot. So I think we should all relax a bit about photo, forensics, as I like to say. No, I think we're very dedicated and we're geeks. I think we all like accuracy. We like to see a 1975 shot with a caption 1975 and not 1977. I think that's enough. If we have the correct tour, we great if we have the correct city, but I think that that obsession online has gone a little bit too far in for my taste, at least in my humble opinion.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm obviously doing photo selection for a couple of my own projects at the moment, and I'll just tell this brief aside because it tells the story of the challenges of working with photographs. I got very excited about some photographs that I was reviewing, and I'd scanned in from the negatives and done all the work on those photos. I was absolutely blown away by these are the greatest things since cake was invented. These are actually better than cake. And then on one of the photo groups, someone posted it. I was like, oh, snap. You know, it's just impossible to surprise anyone, keeping in mind that something is always new to someone else. While we may have known about it for 40 years and disregard it with just utter arrogance, to one person is going to be completely new, which ties into something that one of the Pop House people said last week in an interview. They're dealing with feelings and emotions. Is that what you're trying to portray? Because that really resonated with me when he said that that is what Pop House, one of its central core ethos is feelings and emotions. And I was like, hell yeah, I get it. I at that moment, it was just a moment of clarity. What about for you?
I agree. I listened to this interview and I think that was a really a key moment when he said that and I completely I totally identified with that. Yes, Kiss for us at least is emotion and I hope I was able to convey that on various levels again, not going to spoil the content. Also, it's a reason I like not to show too much. I want people to get the book, open it, go through the pages and go, oh, wow, oh, wow, this. And there are various spreads inside, which are really what KISS is about. I think for us, it's the feeling that the magic of KISS is really undeniable. And I personally, as a fan, just happy to see those guys in makeup. I see it, I smile. And I think there's going to be a lot of smiles in that book.
Well, you just ruined my next question, which was going to be when you do your proofreading, yes, you know, and do your final review before you're ready to push that trigger and send that digital file off to be turned into a physical real thing. What I find is I'm flipping through reviewing things and I'm getting off on what I'm seeing. I've created it. I've been through part of the process the whole time. Do you get that feeling still when you flip open any one of your books, whether it's the new one and you're reviewing it, whether it's one that you did in 2015, do you still get excited seeing KISS on the printed page?
Is it okay to say I did that, I think, several times, but the previous one or the one before that, I was, you know, did the sales and doing all the work and shipping and packing and all that. And then I took a break and I got a book and I flipped through it. And I said, my God, this is amazing. I was really happy with the work I had done and I had really taken the time to really enjoy it. It's really hard work. It's a lot of work. It's passion and it's a labor of love. And I think it shows and the feedback has been always phenomenal. But yes, when I pored over my previous publications working on this one, of course, and I looked and I said, wow, I did a pretty good job on those. I'm proud of what I've achieved.
Do you learn something from each project? And do you try and inject something new in terms of how you're doing you're doing a lot of layouts since you have a lot of photographs in your book. Do you try and apply something new to each one to kind of make it different from a previous publication? Or do you like to have a fingerprint of this is a KISS in Japan title and there's a consistency between them all or all of the above?
No, I really try to approach every project, if it's not part of a series, to try to do something new. The way this one is maybe a little similar to KISS on Tour 74, 83. Very different from what I've done with Takes Tokyo or Budokan, which are more of a fanzine like. This one I decided to do a completely different layout, nothing fancy, no graphic and no background and all that. So just really a great, good looking photo album of KISS at Budokan with some captions, with some storytelling, but really let the photos do the talking and not so much overlays and layers and bits of pieces of newspaper and memorabilia. No, this is really a photo album, a photo album of like a tour book of four tours, so to speak.
Yeah, more of a photo album, less of a scrapbook.
Yes, 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 yes.
One of the other things that I love that you do with each one of these projects is the KISS in Japan newsletter.
Thank you.
So number 10 is, yes, 16 pages. Is it, and obviously I don't want you to give away any hints because I'm a firm believer that once you've established a reputation for delivering quality product, you don't need to offer Easter eggs and, you know, carrots or bribes for people to support your work. Your name should be enough. But
thank you.
Did you use this just as a supplement to have some of the stuff that didn't make the main book, or do you have any articles or essays in the latest one?
There's a mix of both. There is a couple of pages on the behind the scenes, how I created the KISS at Budokan. A couple of pages on another project I worked on, which never happened, unfortunately. So, you know, when you work, sometimes it doesn't, there's no happy ending. There is always a focus on Japanese archives, some extra photos of Budokan, and what was the last thing? I think that's it. Yes. So Japanese printed matter archives, a behind the scene feature, and let's just say more surprises.
Very nice. Yeah, because I do know that in recent history, speaking about ideas and working on ideas sometimes don't result in you getting to fulfill those ideas, which is just, it's, as you know, and as I know, that's part of the territory in which we work, because we have to talk about ideas. We're not completely solo. We always have to engage other people in different ways. Where are you at as a fan in 2025? I've been meaning to ask you this because I last saw you in, well, we jammed out in New York City in 2023 with Jonathan and your friend. I forget his name off the top of my head, and I apologize. Yeah, that was great fun in the jam studio.
That was day one. That was the day after. It was day one of the No Kiss in the world.
So what did we do? We went in and played some Kiss, Merciful Face, all sorts of stuff. I mean, that was and in New York City as well. So where are you at as a Kiss fan? We've been through a period, obviously, of adjustment with Pop House taking the reins. So there has been a stop in product. There's been a real decrease in the number of activities, but things are looking up in 2025. As you know, in Japan, you received the only physical CD to date of the new Kiss Off the Soundboard.
Yeah.
Tell me about you as a fan today. How, other than obviously having the passion to still do books, what are you enjoying? What are you looking forward to? And what would you like to see without giving away any free ideas for someone else to fulfill?
I'm looking forward to I don't know if we can talk about it, but apparently there are box sets coming out.
Yeah, Gene has said that there are two box sets coming, and I'll leave it.
At the end of the year. So music, really. I'm not a huge fan of collecting bootlegs and recording, so I don't know what's out there. So whenever something is available officially, I love it. I mean, demos, live shows, videos, who knows? That would be great to get. I'm getting the Unmasked colored vinyl in the mail, should be coming soon. We got the San Antonio CD of the soundboard. I'm making my own Kiss books. I would love to get more Kiss books. I don't have to make them. You make great Kiss books. Maybe we'll
get an official one
from Pop House, and I don't know what's coming up, but I love Kiss. I think I will always love Kiss. No more concerts, but photos and the music. That's obvious.
How has the fan scene remained in Tokyo? I'm sure you have a core of Kiss buddies in Japan. Everyone seems to have Kiss friends wherever they live, because we're kind of outcasts in that way. Has that maintained a vibrancy, or are people dropping off the radar now that it's kind of over and we're in such a holding pattern until 2027 or 2028?
Yeah, it's really quiet. I don't think we know there's no Kiss tour being announced, so I think everyone's going about their business. And so, yeah, it is really quiet. When we do meet up a couple of times a year for a show, for a tribute band and all that, and it's great to see each other. But there's nothing exciting to look forward to, like a Kiss tour, obviously. So it's a new world, like you said.
Awesome. Well, Alan, I wish you the very best of fortune with this latest project.
Thanks,
and your next one.
I just want to show the cover. This is, of course, a printout, but this is what it's going to look like.
And I will punch in one that one can see without being blurred with our background. Where can people find you, and what are the ordering options that you have? Because I know you do combos for people who want to order multiple copies to save on the postage for, you know, with friends that they can hand deliver copies to. So why don't you tell everyone where you can be found and what sort of options are available? And also if you have any old titles still available.
You can go to www.kissontour74-83.com. Yes, I always say the W. I'm old school. What can I say? So kissontour74-83.com. You can purchase the Kiss at Budokan book by itself. You can purchase the book and the newsletter as a combo. You save on shipping. You can buy a set of two books or a set of two combos, up to 3, 4, 5. If you need more, contact me and I will calculate a shipping too, so you can save on some money.
I'm sure your post office ladies have missed you very much since your last. I do hope, and this is my one request of you, would you please post some photos from your visit to the post office with the first batch of books that go out? Because I always love the entertainment of stacks of books packaged up and an 18-foot long postal receipt. It's always very soul fulfilling for me to see someone else suffering at.
I will. Yes. I know one has left, unfortunately, so they need to train the new one, but she will get some training very soon.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining me this morning, this evening. And again, best of luck.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.